The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 20, Text 33, given by His Divine Grace, Dhanavir Das Vanachari, in February 1990 at Amsterdam.
Oh, Thayam, what self-control? Oho, oh, Asya, her, Navam, budding, vayaha, youth, madhye, in the midst, kamayamananam, of those passionately longing for, akama, free from passion, eva, like, visarpati, walking with us. Translation: the demons praised her. Oh, what a beauty, what rare self-control, what a budding youth. In the midst of all of us who are passionately longing for her, she is moving about like one absolutely free from passion. There's no purport. I'll read the next text.
Vitarkayanto bahuda tam sandhyam pramadakritim abhisambhavya vishrambhat Parya Pritcham Kumeda Saha.
Indulging in various speculations about the evening twilight, which appeared to them endowed with the form of a young woman, the wicked-minded Asuras, treated her with respect and fondly spoke to her as follows. Who are you, O pretty girl? Whose wife or daughter are you? And what can be the object of your appearing before us? Why do you tantalize us, unfortunate as we are, with the priceless commodity of your beauty? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The mentality of the demons in being enamored by the false beauty of this material world is expressed herein. The demoniac can pay any price for the skin beauty of this material world. They work very hard all day and night, but the purpose of their hard work is to enjoy sex life. Sometimes they misrepresent themselves as karma yogis, not knowing the meaning of the word yoga. Yoga means to link up with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or to act in Krishna consciousness. A person who works very hard, no matter in what occupation, and who offers the result of the work to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is called a karma yogi. Read the next text.
Yava kachitvam abale dishya sandarshanam tava utsuno shikshamananam kanduka kridaya manaha.
Whosoever you may be, O beautiful girl, we are fortunate in being able to see you. While playing with a ball, you have agitated the minds of all onlookers. Purport. Demons arrange many kinds of performances to see the glaring beauty of a beautiful woman. Here it is stated that they saw the girl playing with a ball. Sometimes the demoniac arranged for so-called sports, like tennis, with the opposite sex. The purpose of such sporting is to see the bodily construction of the beautiful girl and enjoy a subtle sex mentality. This demoniac sex mentality of material enjoyment is sometimes encouraged by so-called yogis, who encourage the public to enjoy sex life in different varieties and at the same time advertise that if one meditates on a certain manufactured mantra, one can become God within 6 months. The public wants to be cheated, and Krishna therefore creates such cheaters to misrepresent and delude. These so-called yogis are actually enjoyers of the world garbed as yogis. Bhagavad Gita, however, recommends that if one wants to enjoy life, then it cannot be with these gross senses. A patient is advised by the experienced physician to refrain from ordinary enjoyment while in the diseased condition. A diseased person cannot enjoy anything. He has to restrain his enjoyment in order to get rid of the disease. Similarly, our material condition is a diseased condition. If one wants to enjoy real sense enjoyment, then one must get free from the entanglement of material existence. In spiritual life, we can enjoy sense enjoyment, which has no end. The difference between material and spiritual enjoyment is that material enjoyment is limited. Even if a man engages in material sex enjoyment, he cannot enjoy it for long. But when the sex enjoyment is given up, then one can enter spiritual life, which is unending. In the Bhagavatam 5.5.1, it is stated that Brahma-sokya, spiritual happiness, is ananta, unending. Foolish creatures are enamored by the beauty of matter and think that the enjoyment it offers is real. But actually, that is not real enjoyment. Omagyanatamarandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Miratam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So the Vaishnavas, they do not recommend that one try to destroy the senses or destroy activities. The Mayavadis, they put forward the philosophy that one should stop all activities, stop all the functions of the senses, be still, and finally realize that they are one and the supreme. However, this is not possible to stop activities because by nature the living entity is active. Just like if we have a child that is naughty and we put the child in the corner and we say, don't move, stop everything. Maybe for a few seconds the child will be able to obey such an order. But after some time, again, activity will come. So the best process is to engage the naughty child in positive activities. Train the child how to engage in some service to Krishna. And that is the same idea with the living entities. Instead of stopping everything, in this way, trying to stop sinful reactions, it is better to engage in works of devotion. If one learns how to use the senses in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Uttama. The senses actually belong to Krishna. They belong to God. We are parts and parcels of the Lord, and everything belongs to Him. And these senses are empowered by Him, as well as this body and all the elements. And even as spirit souls, we are also eternally His part and parcel. So, if we learn to utilize our senses in the service of the master of the senses, then the senses are no longer troublesome. The impersonalists are something like the man who's been given sweet rice with sand in it. So after having sweet rice with sand in it, it's very distasteful. So he concludes, therefore, there's no such thing as tasteful sweet rice. And someone offers him sweet rice again, he refuses. No, I've had sweet rice before. Don't give it to me. Yes, unfortunately, his bad experience has now tainted him. So he thinks there's no such thing as real sweet rice without sand in it. But there is. Similarly, the people who are frustrated, the impersonalists, they see that the material world is full of so many kinds of miseries. They've dealt with personalities. Therefore, they conclude, let's stop all personalities. Let's stop all varieties because there's so much suffering. Let's end everything. Or like the Buddhist Nirvana. Just annihilate everything. Let's even annihilate the self. You know, existing is so much trouble because there's so many problems. Let's just annihilate everything. That is their spiritual suicide idea. But the Vaishnavas know that there is another platform of activity which is beyond this material platform and is full of variety. This material world, after all, is nothing but a reflection of the real spiritual world. The spiritual world has all the varieties that we see in this material world. In fact, all the varieties are there in greater quantity, and they're much more enjoyable. Just like the example, if we go to the side of a pond, a clear pond, and on the bank of the pond there is a tree with some fruits on it. So if we want to enjoy the fruits, that's okay. But if we see the reflection in the water and we see, oh, the fruit is there, and we go to grab for it, well, first of all, we will not get the fruit. We will not be able to enjoy. We'll simply become wet. But that doesn't mean that the fruit doesn't exist on the tree. But he's looking in the wrong place. He's trying to find the enjoyable object in the water. That's his illusion. It's not that the fruit is illusion. The impersonalists say, Jagan, Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. They say that the spirit or the Brahman is truth, but this material world is all false. Well, it is not false. It's real, but the illusion is that you'll be able to enjoy it. It's like that reflection on the water of the fruit. The reflection is not false. The reflection is real, and the fruit is real. But your conception of being able to enjoy that fruit in the reflection is false. That will never happen. Because this material world is not meant to be fully enjoyable. So, in other words, the expectation of enjoyment they're taking is pleasure. And that momentary relief of the sufferings. After all, this material world is a place full of miseries. Abrahma bhuvana loka puna arvatin arjuna mamu pechita konte puna arjanmana vidyate. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. Being in this miserable place, where we're forced to die against our will, how can we actually be happy? It's like a person who is condemned to death, and he's going to die in about 15 minutes. They say, now you wait in this room here, have a good time, smoke a cigarette if you like. You know, you can look at some magazine. What kind of magazine would you like? You know, here's a magazine for it. You can watch the video. Have a good time. Enjoy yourself. But in 15 minutes, we're going to kill you. So what kind of enjoyment can he have? He can try to make believe that everything's all right. Let me get really engrossed in this magazine. Maybe I'll write away for some further information. I'll watch the video, maybe I'll give my critique, I'll tell my friends about it. It's all illusion. He's crazy. There's no question of enjoying when one knows that in a few minutes he's going to die. But still, the foolish living entities here are doing just that. They know that in a few years they're going to have to die. And they're going to be ripped away from all their attachments and all their activities. But still, foolishly, they're going on, trying to make a permanent settlement here. They try to patch up. It's like he's going back to that example. If the man's in the room for 15 minutes before he's going to die and he notices that there needs to be some painting done, so he makes arrangements to try to get some paint to paint the room. What a foolish activity. Why doesn't he try to escape? That is the intelligent thing. Instead of trying to remain here and make it comfortable for the next few minutes, we should try to make an escape. Find out how to get out of this suffering condition. How to get free once and for all from this material entanglement. And that means one is intelligent. So when one begins asking these questions, why am I suffering? Why am I forced to die against my will? Why must I become diseased? Why is there so much suffering? This is intelligent. Only human beings can ask these questions. Dogs and cats and fleas, they don't ask these questions. They never stop to think, why is there so much suffering? Why must I die? Why do I have so many fleas? They just scratch. They don't question. They don't try to figure it out. That maybe I should, if I could just get rid of this dog's body once and for all, maybe I could. No, they never think like that. Similarly, our human beings are on the level of dogs and cats. No higher vision, no higher thinking. But when one human being does think in that way, oh, that is very good. Then Krishna sees this person is desiring to understand. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. The Vedanta Sutra recommends in the very beginning, now that you've reached this human form of life, you should inquire into the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth means that which is beyond my material existence, my material conception. The Absolute Truth means that place where I can experience my eternal nature, my blissful nature, and my full knowledgeable nature. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that He is that Absolute Truth. Matak paratanam nyanyat kinchit asti dananjaya. There's no truth superior to me. Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabjate. To know the Absolute Truth, one has to understand in three features. The Brahman, the Paramatma, the Super Soul, and the Bhagavan feature, Krishna. That is the summum bonum of all transcendental knowledge. And we are teaching that. That is being given here in Srimad Bhagavatam. The highest knowledge, the greatest education, Raja Vidya Raja Guyam. The supreme secret, the supreme education we are being given. And what happens when one gets this knowledge? Well, by getting this knowledge, he experiences transcendental happiness, transcendental bliss. And he's no longer subjected to birth and death, old age and disease. He becomes free. That is the great value of this transcendental knowledge. But one cannot understand this knowledge as long as he's still engaged in the sinful activities. Yesham tvantagatam papam jnanam punyakarmanam. Forget the rest. Anyone know? That's right. Te dvanda moham nirmuktam bhajante mam dridhavataha. That until one becomes free from sinful activities in this life and previous reactions also, he will not be able to fully absorb himself in devotional service. So, how to do that? How should we become free from our past sinful reactions and sinful activities in this life? Well, the answer is very easy. That by engaging in devotional service, then one automatically gets free from all his past sinful reactions. And at the same time, by engaging in devotional service, he's no longer engaged in sinful activities. Because the system of bhakti yoga is so designed that one has to give up all sinful activities. Just like when someone comes to our center and says, I want to join. Okay, first thing is you have to give up illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, meat eating. You have to immediately get free from these pillars of sinful life. Then you can properly execute devotional service. Otherwise, of course, even if one is still addicted to sinful activities, he can engage in some service. But the full effect will not be received until he gives up the unwanted activities. Just like if one wants to light a fire, but he's pouring water on it at the same time. It's very difficult to get the fire to ignite. One has to stop pouring the water. So I'll continue with the next because these texts are very similar about the same topic. So we'll continue here. Text 36. Naikatate jayati shalini parapadmam ganantya muhu karatalena patat patangam madhyam vishidati brihatstana bharabhutam shanteva drishtir amala sushika samuha. O beautiful woman, when you strike the bouncing ball against the ground with your hand again and again, your lotus feet do not stay in one place. Oppressed by the weight of your full-grown breasts, your waist becomes fatigued, and your clear vision grows dull, as it were. Pray braid your comely hair. We can see that these demons are expert in flattery. And generally speaking, materialistic women are very much attracted by the flattery of lusty men. And this is how the whole material world is going on. The men are praising the beauty of the woman, and the women are becoming enamored, and the whole affair, everyone goes to hell. That is the result of their so-called loving romances. Now we have it on television, we have it in the movies, we have it in books, everywhere. This whole relationship, the male-female, pungsa striya mituni bhava metam, this whole relationship has been glorified and exonerated to the highest platform. In fact, men even, they actually say that I worship the form of woman. That's my God. I've seen men, they say like this. Yes, form of woman, that is my God. And that is idol worship. Now they accuse us of worshiping idols, but they're actually worshiping the idols. And the whole thing has been advanced to such an intense pace that they have no rules and regulations. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that this sex indulgence is meant, dharma virudho kamosmi. It is meant for religious purpose, to produce Krishna conscious children. But they have thrown all these scriptures away, and now they engage in sex life just for temporary enjoyment. And because of that, they're implicated, and they cannot understand anything about the purpose of life. And because one lusty person is trying to exploit another lusty person, there's no peace. How can you be peaceful? There will not be peace in the world, we can say openly, until people give up illicit sex life. Because he'll always be trying to increase that lusty desire, that greedy desire. And the Bhagavad Gita describes kamesha krodesha. From lust, when lust is not satisfied, then he becomes angry. If one cannot satisfy his senses to his full enjoyment, then he'll become angry at anyone who interrupts that. And of course, lust is the all-devouring, nityavairina, all-devouring sinful enemy of this world, and it can never be satisfied. Just as if we have a fire and we pour petrol on it, more and more petrol. You can keep pouring petrol, it'll never go out. The fire will just keep getting bigger. And because they never stop pouring the petrol, they're continually interested in these lusty affairs. And they encourage each other with their association. They'll never be able to become peaceful. So it is illusion. They're having their peace conferences, and all these lusty men get together, and they try to make peace. But where is the peace? There's wars going on. Someone was telling me there's at least 15 wars going on right now on the planet. What to speak of international wars, what to speak of the wars between the neighborhoods and between this race and that race and this religion and that religion. And what to speak of inside ourselves, the wars that are going on, the divine and the demoniac tendencies. Within the families, there are so many wars. On a small scale, that's why they call it divorce. That is the result of the war between the husband and wife. So, why so many divorces? Illicit sex. That's the whole problem. It starts from that. So we have to control the senses if we want to live peacefully. And in the spiritual world, there's no wars. There's no battles. Because everyone there is self-controlled. Everyone there is engaging in Krishna's service very peacefully and happily. Just like here in our temples. The temple is meant to be Vaikuntha atmosphere, where everyone is living a pure life, and we can cooperate together very nicely without exploitation. If no one is lusty and greedy, then everyone can live very peacefully together. Otherwise, the material world is a place for exploitation. The cheaters and the cheated, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say. Tai, shishi, goni, tai. The example of this cheaters and the cheated is given that there were some prostitutes who wanted to get sons from some sages. And the sages were known to go to the holy rivers and take their bath there. So these prostitutes thought, we will go there and allure these sages, and this way we can get a son by these sages. That's auspicious, they thought. So they went there and they began alluring the saintly persons, trying to get them to indulge with them. And then some other men, so they were cheating, and then some other men who actually wanted to have association with these prostitutes, they dressed up like holy men and they went there in order that they could be allured by these women. So in this way, the cheaters and the cheated, that is the whole nature of the material world, exploiting others or being exploited by others. Purport. The demons observed beautiful gestures in the woman's every step. Here they praise her full-grown breasts, her scattered hair, and her movements in stepping forward and backward while playing with the ball. Just like all of these magazines that they have, they always put a woman there. Or the billboards, even to sell anything, practically. Because it is the desire of the demons to see the beautiful woman. This is their whole mentality. In every step they enjoy her womanly beauty, and while they enjoy her beauty, their minds become agitated by sex desire. As moths at night surround a fire and are killed, so the demons become victims of the movements of the ball-like breasts of a beautiful woman. The scattered hair of a beautiful woman also afflicts the heart of a lusty demon. So, everything about the woman captivates a lusty man. It is stated in the Bhagavatam that the female form is the full manifestation of Maya for man. Everything about it attracts a man, and vice versa. The man for the woman is attractive. Everything, his strong demeanor, the way he speaks, like that. And so this attraction is the means destruction for one's spiritual life. In spiritual life, then, one should take that attraction away from the opposite sex and put it on Krishna, Radha Krishna, or Nitai Gauranga, as we were discussing yesterday also. That's how we can become free from these lusty desires, by engaging in Krishna's service. Next text. Iti sayantanim sandhyam asura pramadayatim pralobayantim jagrihur matta mudha diastriyam. The asuras clouded in their understanding, took the evening twilight to be a beautiful woman, showing herself in her alluring form, and they seized her. Purport. The asuras are described here as mudha diyaha, meaning that they are captivated by ignorance, just like the ass. The demons were captivated by the false, glaring beauty of this material form, and thus they embraced her. Because after all, what is this beauty? You may know this story. There was once a very beautiful young princess, and there was a prince, very puffed up, and he wanted to marry her because she was so beautiful. But she was a self-realized person, so she wasn't attracted by his lusty advances. So she told him, please go away, but he wouldn't go away. So she said, all right, I will agree to your proposal if you give me 2 weeks to think about it, and you come back, and if you still want to have me, then all right. So he went away thinking that he had conquered another victory. And the saintly princess, she took strong laxatives and purgatives. So she was vomiting and passing loose stool continually for 2 weeks. And she kept it in a big pot. So by the time 2 weeks came around and he was there at the appointed hour, all dressed very nicely to receive the hand of his beauty queen, he knocked on the door. And she answered the door, but this time she looked different. Her complexion had all become dark, and her eyes had gone back into their sockets. She'd become extremely emaciated. She hadn't kept her hair nicely. She looked horrible, as a matter of fact. I mean, she looked completely haggard. So he said, I've come. Where is the princess? Please tell her that I am here. She said, no, I'm the same princess. You? You're not the same princess. She was beautiful. She had a complexion. And he described. She said, no, I'm the same woman. Except the only difference is I've separated my beauty. My liquid beauty is in the other room. Would you like to see it? And he thought, liquid beauty. All right, let's see. So she brought him into the other room and said, yes, there, open the pot and see for yourself. So he came over, oh, disgusting. Said, yes, this is the beauty that you were so much attached to. It's in the pot now. Vomit and stool, that's what you were so attached to. Here, take it, enjoy it. That's a fact. That so-called beauty is nothing more than vomit and stool and blood and all these types of things, which we're taking as very enjoyable because of the skin covering. It is called the skin disease. The skin disease has everyone captivated in the material world. However, one who is on the transcendental platform, he will not be attracted because he knows what's underneath it all. He knows this is just chemicals I'm being attracted to and all these unfortunate, unpleasant things. Why don't I become attracted to Krishna, whose form is Satchidananda Vigraha? That is the real form of beauty. We want to see beautiful forms? Okay, so turn the attraction to the beautiful form of Krishna. The impersonalists, they have nothing to replace the material forms with. They say that the absolute truth is formless, it has no personality, nothing. So how long can they remain on that negated position? Aruyakuch trena param param tata patentito nadrita yujmarangraha. They fall down from that position because by nature the soul wants to enjoy beautiful things. The soul wants to see beautiful forms. The soul wants to hear beautiful sounds and the voice, beautiful voices. So Krishna has the beautiful form. His form is so attractive, it's more stunning than thousands of goddesses of fortune. He's more beautiful than anyone, any woman or any man. His fragrance is more attractive than any fragrance in the material world. Just to be in his association is more intoxicating than any liquor. Ambarish Maharaj, a great devotee of the Lord, showed the example how to engage all the senses in the service of Krishna and be fully satisfied. And we should learn that art, how to do that, how to be fully engaged in Krishna's service. Then all the senses will be satisfied, because that is the spiritual platform. The soul has spiritual senses, but right now those spiritual senses are covered by this material body, which is like a disease. In the disease condition, if we see a diseased man lying on the bed, well, he has his senses, but they're not functioning properly. He's making activities, but everything is painful. Eating is painful, evacuating is painful, moving is painful. So if he concludes that the solution to his painful problem is just to commit suicide, no. The solution is to get free from the disease. So the disease is this material mentality, trying to enjoy. We have to give up this tendency to want to enjoy everything through our senses, and rather try to give pleasure to Krishna's senses by our activities. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Jai. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.